Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. I come across this. I'm just going to say something about what Brother Ethan was talking about before we read any scripture or anything, but I was studying something to do with the Blessings of Liberty, the radio broadcast, and I come across a story about D.L. Moody, and D.L. Moody was asked to go to England. He's a great evangelist here in America, and he had a lot of success and revivals and souls being saved. And they kept asking him to come to the college campus, come to the college campus. And he was intimidated to go to the college students because he never, I don't even think he graduated from high school. He was just a common person that God saved. But they kept on to him to come to the college, come to the college. So he went to England, and I think it was Oxford. That'd be intimidating. He went and he opened up the revival meeting, and it just didn't go good at all. The students were unruly, and then the second day they didn't come back, and it just wasn't very much interest at all. And D.L. Moody went into the town nearby, and he asked the mothers to come and to pray. And he got about 300 praying mamas. And he said, "I'd like for you to pray for these students like you would pray for your own sons." And when the mamas got to praying, business turned up. And they had thousands of people that got saved out of that revival. Students started coming. They started paying attention. They started showing an interest. But the reason I told that is, go to the college campus and try to see how many people are interested in what God says. And so he appealed to the churches and he appealed to the moms. And I'm sure there was some praying daddies as well. And when the churches started praying, then the revival came. And it started seeing the college students get saved. And I've thought a whole lot about our little part. You might say, "Well, I can't do much. I don't feel like I can do much. I'm not a college graduate of that caliber." But I know that if we pray, that's doing a whole lot. And so there's a lot we can do. We might think, "Well, we can't do anything." I'd like to see the Lord do something like that. I'd like to see the Lord save a lot of young people and change their lives. And they might come for one thing. They might say, "Well, I'm coming for college education and that's fine and wonderful and grand. There's nothing wrong with that. But wouldn't it be good for them to go away and to say, 'I got a whole lot more than a bargain for because God got a hold of my heart.'" And so we have a mission field dropped in our doorstep. And we'll be excited about what the Lord's able to do. Now, I want to read in Genesis chapter number 1. I appreciate Brother Ethan coming and talking about that. And this goes right along, I think. You know, you start anything, it's a formidable task. Think about starting anything. Where do you start? How do you start? Let's look how the Bible starts. Genesis chapter 1 and verses 1 through 5. The Bible said, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day." Let's pray. Father, we come today, and I want to thank you for your blessings. Lord, I want to thank you for your watch care in our lives. And Lord, we are thankful for seeing your hand work in our midst. And Lord, I think sometimes we see things going on and we don't realize just how much that's the hand of God. That Lord, you're working and moving. And Lord, you are doing things that we don't even recognize sometimes. We don't even see it. But Lord, you're still doing it. And you're still in control of it. And Lord, I pray you'd help us tonight as we look in your word, as we think about what you have done in our lives and what you are doing in our lives. Lord, I pray we'd have a whole new perspective of first things in our life and how we ought to perceive it and see it. And Lord, I pray for your help tonight. Lord, I commit everything that is said. I ask your blessing upon it. I pray you just bring to my mind the things that you'd have me to preach tonight. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. I pray you'd help us as a church, that we would be a praying, powerful church, a light in this area for your honor and for your glory. We'll thank you. We come asking it all in Jesus' name and amen. All right, let's read verse number 5 one more time. The Bible said over there, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And I don't know, I've just been thinking about this the past week or so, about all the firsts that a person will experience in their lives. We don't have just one first. We have many first things in our lives, and we measure a lot of the events that happen to us by calling them the first. And you just think about it a little bit by way of introduction tonight. A little baby is born and it's not long. They have their first birthday. And you know, that's a real big deal. They got their first birthday. And it's not long after that. You blink your eyes a couple of times and they have their first day of school. And that's a big deal. And you always take a picture and everything. And then every year after that, it's the same thing. First day of school, first day of school. And I've seen where people have lined pictures up from when they's in kindergarten and first grade and second grade. And then it's not long they've got their first day of high school. And then it's not long first day of college. Or somebody may not go to college, they might have their first job. And I remember my first job, and a lot of you remember the first day you went to work, and then you have your first car. You never forget that, and how you worked for it, or however you got it there. You have your first car. If you're a guy, you know, you never forget your first girlfriend, or you never forget your first boyfriend. Even if you wrote little notes back in first or second grade, you know, just remember things like that. First time you ever experienced things. I thought about Jackson and Abigail. Today's really their first day of married life. Now, I've been married so long, I can't remember much about our first day, but it's their first day. And I told Abigail this morning when I seen her, I said, enjoy it. I enjoy your honeymoon and take it in and try to remember things, because when you get a little bit older, you know, Kim and I, we'll look back at pictures and we'll say, where was that? What was that? I wish, you know, you got a picture of this great picture and you can't remember where it was or what was going on or anything. You know, take it in. Write things down. Remember these first things in life. And so you got a lot of first. A lot of times pastors, preachers, they'll talk about their first church they ever had. And sometimes you might live long enough, you'll have your first day of retirement in your life. Some of the first things that happen to us are not necessarily happy things. Somebody might have a first day of being a widow, or a first day of being a widower. You know, you have things in your life, and they are first things. They all start with the first day. And life is just a series of firsts that you have. The first of this and the first of that. And some of them are good. Some of them are bad. Some of them are exciting days. Some of them are scary days. But here in the Bible. And we always want to look at the Bible and see about what the Bible says. Here is the first in the Bible. Now, I mentioned this morning I was going to preach on this. And the first in the Bible, if you look at verse number 5, is a day. The Bible said, and God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And so the first in the Bible is a day. And God is talking about the first day here in the Bible. So that's what I want to preach on tonight, the first day. And there's some lessons from the first day that I believe will help us in all of our firsts that we have and experience in our lives. So I want to show you four or five things here tonight about the first day. Now, first of all, we're going to look in verse number 5 and point this out. It is a primary day. And I'm not talking about when you have elections and they talk about the primaries, but I'm talking about one. One is a primary number. And we have the first in the Bible, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, have you ever thought about of all the ways that God could have started His Word? I mean, He's infinite in knowledge. He's infinite in wisdom and understanding. And I guess the Lord could come up with a lot of ways to start His Word. But you know, the Bible doesn't start with Calvary, does it? The Bible doesn't start with the church. The Bible does not start with the children of Israel. The Bible doesn't start with Abraham or Noah. But of all the ways that God could have started His Word, He started in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And as we've read these verses tonight, He starts with a day. So if you're going to talk about things that are important, the first day is the most important of all. Because God Himself started with day one, the first day, and then the second day, and then the third day. And the reason we say that it is a primary day is because one, and we're talking about the first day here, one is a primary number. You remember learning about your numbers in elementary school and what a primary number is? One is a primary number. And that means this, all the other numbers depend upon one. You've got to have one. You've got to have a beginning. You've got to have a first. You've got to have a start. One, the number one I'm talking about now, the number one precedes and produces all the other numbers. You cannot have two without having one. You've got to have one. You've got to have first. People talk about all the time. They talk about all the things that they would like to do and they want to do and they never get done. They never start because they miss that most important of days. They miss the first day. You know, the Bible talks about this. The Bible says this in Proverbs 14 and verse number 23. It says, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. That means talk is cheap. Talk is not worth anything. The talk of the lips tendeth only to penury or poverty. You can talk about stuff all day long, but until you do something about it, that's all it is. It's just talk. And people talk about things all the time. People talk about, well, I would like to go to school, and I would like to learn about this, and I would like to graduate, and I would like to get a job doing this, and that's what I always wanted to do. Well, why didn't you do that? Because you never had the primary day, the first day. You got to go that first day. If you're going to graduate, if you're going to get a degree, if you're going to get a job in some fields, you can talk about it all you want to. But if you don't have the first day, you'll not have that thing you say, I'd always like to have done that. People tell me all the time, I try to promote and talk about the school. We were supposed to start school last Thursday night. I drove all the way over to Roane Mountain. Pulled into the parking lot. Preacher Tull's sitting there in his pickup. I back up in my car beside of him. He rolled down the window and I knew something was wrong. It starts this coming Thursday night. But me and him had it right and everybody else had it wrong. But, you know, it'd be sad to show up on Thursday night and no students be there. People talk all the time, that's a good thing. I'd like to do that. Well, if you'd like to do that, let me tell you, You got to have day one. You got to get day one under your belt. Day one is a very important day. People talk about, well, I'd like to lose weight. I'd like to do this. I'd like to do that. I'd like to go on a mission trip. I'd like to do and like to do. And a lot of times we spend our lives talking and thinking about things we would have liked to have done. Let me tell you, if you don't get day one under your belt, you'll never get day two. You'll never get day three. You'll never get day four. You'll never get day five. You got to start somewhere. There has to be a beginning. There has to be a day one that we get under our belt. And if we don't have day one, we'll never have day two. Now, you can miss some days down the road and make up for it. You know, the young people are getting ready to start back to their school. And somebody was telling me the other day, they was talking about their schedule this year, and I think they said, we don't get a break until maybe Thanksgiving. Whatever it is, I don't know, I can't remember. But they're going to start back to school, and they're going to go for a month or 6 weeks or 8 weeks, and it's going to be seemingly to them a long time before they have a break. But they'll have some breaks along the way. They'll miss some days because of snow and because of weather and things like that. But you know, that's all right. They can make that up. But they can't make up if they didn't have day one. You got to have day one in your life. Whether it's a good day, whether it's a bad day, whether it's an overwhelming day, whatever it is, you get that under your belt and you can go from there. Day one in the Bible is a primary day. We read in the Bible, first of all, about the first day. And then we read about the second day. Then we read about the third day. But the first day in our lives, in our experiences, in all the things that we do, people say, you know, I'd like to go to church. I'd like to be faithful. Well, let me tell you how you do that. You got to get day one under your belt. You got to just go. You got to be faithful. You got to come and you got to do. And so it's a primary day. I notice that in the Bible, in the Word of God. Number two, I notice this. It is a promising day. First day, I'm told now about in the Bible, the first day is a promising day. What I mean by that, let's contrast a couple of things here. Before the first day, all you had is what you find in verse number two. The Bible said, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now that's talking about God's hand in creation. And so we understand that. But it says in verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. But look what happened in verse number 3. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. It was a promising day. Now, it does not say lights. It's not talking here about the sun. It's not talking about light from fire or friction or any other source of light that you can think about. That's not the light. It's not talking about a flashlight. It's not talking about electricity or sunlight or anything like that. But God, first of all, just said, let there be light. The sun, the moon, the stars didn't come along to verse number 14. And that was the fourth day. Verse 14 said, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And so the sun, the moon, the stars, all that stuff we think about light and reflection of light, sunlight, that did not come along till the fourth day. But God said in verse number 3, the first thing he said, the first thing he created was just light. Now, I've got a work table in the basement, and that's my little place I go to do my projects. I've got my study, and if I go to the work table to do something, first thing I do is I turn the light on. When I turn the light on, I'm getting ready to do something. I'm getting ready to work. Something is getting ready to be produced from that light. But the first thing you got to do is to turn the light on. And God, and I don't know that God's got a workshop up in heaven, but if God did have a workshop up in heaven, there was a time that God walked into the workshop and said, "Let there be light." He's getting ready to do something. He turned the light on, and he turned the lights on in the universe. He's getting ready to do something. He's getting ready to create some things. And so God, the first thing that God done was turn turned light on. Not the sun, but just light. And I don't understand that except for this, that God is light. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And so many times we dread the first day of something. Did you ever dread the first day of, I'll be honest, I always dreaded the first day of school. I started dreading the first day of school, the last day of school. And even today, when I start seeing school buses going up and down the road, it sort of makes my, a pit in my stomach. They're getting ready to go back, first day of school. And so many things we dread. We dread the first day so many times. But we ought to change our mind about how we look at first things, first days, and young people getting ready to go back to school. Don't dread it. Look forward to it. Go have new friends and new faces and new challenges, and you're going to learn new things. I wish so much I could. If I could turn back the hands of time to one thing, what I would do different in my life, I would have applied myself more to what they were trying to teach me in school. School's a good thing. It's good to learn. It's good to learn about all these good things. Reading, writing, arithmetic, things like that. You'll come to a day in your life and you'll come to something and you'll say, I wish I'd paid attention then. Wish I'd have learned that. But so many times we dread so much the first things in our life, and we never do embrace those things when they come along in our lives. And there's no telling what God may have out there for us. The Bible says to teach us. So Moses said in Psalms 90 and 12, "So teach us to number our days." A lot of them days are going to be first days, "that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." You've only got so many days. You're only going to have so many first days. You're going to only have so many opportunities in your life. And we need to look at these opportunities as gifts from God. If you've got a first day of some kind, that is a promise. He's getting ready to do something in your life. There's going to be a second day. There's going to be a third day. But it's a promising day. It is a day of preparation. If you look in verse number 5, there's something very precise about the first day. The Bible said in verse 5, "And the evening and the morning were the first day." There are those, they try to fit evolution into the Bible, and they say, well, the first week, the days in the Bible, they were just thousands of years. They were millions of years. They are unspecified period of time. We don't know, but they will try to accommodate evolution in the Bible. You cannot accommodate evolution in the Bible. If you try to say that, then you're going to have grass on one day, and a million days later, you're going to have the sun shining. That just won't work, I'm telling you. Because God put the grass before God put the sun in the sky. Before God put the moon and the tide, and you've got to have the moon and the tide and the seasons, and God put the grass upon the earth before God put the sun in the sky and turned the light on that way. That won't work to say these days are thousands of years. These days in Genesis chapter number 1 are very specific days. They are 24-hour time periods. The evening and the morning were the first day. If you read and study that word day means day. It means 24 hours. It means a night and a day. That's what a day is.
We say this was a day of preparation because what the Lord was doing there, the Lord was setting a pattern for the rest of the days. This is how the days are going to be. Aren't you glad our days are, you can depend on your day. You can look at your watch, you know it's about to begin, you know that it's about to end. You know if you're halfway through the day, you know how many times, how long, what I'm always thinking about through the day, I don't know if anybody else is like this, but I'm always looking at my watch and I'm thinking to myself, when do I get to eat next? That's very important to me. I'm glad it's not a big question mark over that, but we know. In fact, before we come to church tonight, I looked at Kim, I said, what are we eating when we get home? Something's very important to us. And so God has given us very precise things about the day. And when God gave the first day, He said the evening and the morning were the first day. And this is how your days are going to be. They're going to be evenings and mornings and evenings and mornings. And that's how our days are going to be. God prepared us by setting that first day as a pattern. And life is like that. Now, you can't know everything in life, but you can pretty much know how your day's going to go. If you work, you know what you got to expect pretty much when you go on Monday, when you go on Tuesday. God has given us days. These are prepared days. These are precise days. When we start school, the first time we go back to school, as a teacher, what I always do, I introduce myself. And I say, this is our subject. And this is our outline. And this is the requirements for this class. And then we have a lesson. And the students, you know, the first time somebody comes, it's an intimidating thing. Most people, they say, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. I don't know if I'm going to be able to keep up. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do the work. When you come the first time and you see, this is sort of what it's going to be like. And life is a whole lot like that. And God continually gives us first days in our life, and we've got one and two and three under our life that are preparing us for the next thing to come. In Genesis chapter number 1, the first day prepared the way for the next day. First there was light, and then God gave life in verse number 6, or what it takes for life. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And you can't have any life in this world without water. You've got to have water. And so you had life, and that prepared the way for the land. In verse number 10, God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called He seas. And God saw that it was good. And so one day led into the next day. And then God put the sun, moon, and the stars in the sky in verse number 14. God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And so one day led into another day. And then there was the animals and the sea life and the birds. And finally God created man and put him upon the earth. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So you had the first day all the way through the sixth day there. And do you know how many of our days that God allows us to go through that are just preparing us for what's to come next? You know, in our life, a lot of those days don't even make sense. Just like if we were laying out the days of creation, probably all of us would have put the sun before we put grass and trees and things on the earth. See, God didn't do that. Look at verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so, and the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after his kind. You see, what God did first, God put the earth, God made the earth, and God planted everything on the earth. And God brought forth the grass and the trees and the fruit trees and all of that stuff. And then God put the sun and the moon and the stars and set them for seasons. We wouldn't do things that way. Have you ever looked at your life and what God was doing in your life, and you scratch your head and you say to yourself, God, what in the world is going on? Why is this happening in my life? You may not understand it, but I promise you, if you're a child of God, God is ordering your days. God knows what He's doing. God knows how He's doing things. God knows how to best work in our lives to prepare us. What you're going through today, God is preparing you for something tomorrow that maybe you don't even see yet. God's preparing you. That's how He works. That's how He does days. And so the first day was a day of preparation. I know that when I went to school, went to Victory, I had a terrible time getting started. I tried going correspondence, first of all. I tried a couple of times, and I start a semester and I get one under my belt, and then I tried the next and I didn't get it, and then I didn't even do the next one, and I just couldn't do it. And finally I made up my mind. I said, I've just got to go. And so I went and I sat in those classes, and that was God's will for my life. And I went and I sat and I listened, and as I went and I sat and I listened, God began to put in my heart that one day I'd be a instructor. I knew that as I began to sit there. God put that little seed in my life. And I didn't know how it would work out. There was not a need at that time. But I knew just as sure as I went there and sat that God had a purpose in everything that I was doing. And I've been blessed to be able to go back year after year. And what a blessing it is. And y'all don't see this, but I want you to know that you have a little part in it in sharing me with the school. That it's having an influence in young preachers' lives and families, and people come and they call, and it's a blessing. See, God, He puts things in our lives that we don't understand. Why is that happening in my life? God's preparing us for the next time, for the next thing. The Lord knows what He's doing. A lot of times we just need to, or all the time, we need to just do what the Bible says and just trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Lean not unto our own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. God knows what He's doing. He's preparing us. He's preparing our hearts. It was a day of preparation. Number four, it was a partitioned day. Now, let me show you in verse number four what I mean by that. A partition is a division. And the Bible said in verse number four, and God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Now, when we divide, it's usually we've done something we shouldn't have done. We've said something we've hurt somebody's feelings. It's trouble when we divide. But when God divides, He multiplies. When you find in the Bible that God divides something, then He causes multiplication to come out of that. In the book of Acts, it talks about that the churches were multiplied. But the way the churches were multiplied was by God dividing them through persecution. We would never say, Lord, we just need some good persecution so we can grow as a church. But God allowed persecution to come, and the result was the churches were multiplied. They were scattered abroad. That's what it said in Acts chapter number 8. But what happened through that scattered abroad was the churches were multiplied, and the gospel went out into all the world. God got them moving where they wasn't moving before. God allowed something horrible to their eyes to come into their lives, but it resulted in something that was very good. And so the very first day, there was a division. With no division, there would have never been anything productive. If all we had was light, nothing would grow long. If all we had was darkness, nothing would grow. You've got to have the light, and you've got to have the dark. You've got to have the light, you've got to have the day in order to work, in order to see, in order to grow. But you have to have the darkness. You have to have the night to rest, to recover, to recuperate, to get revived. We wouldn't make it a week if we didn't have days like we have. If we didn't have the light, if we didn't have the darkness. So God, what did He do? He partitioned the day out. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm sort of glad a lot of times when evening rolls around, it's time to hit the sack. It's time to get some sleep. It's time to get some rest. And it's time to get up and to go and do that thing, that same thing again. And a lot of times in our life, the first that come along, there's a division there. I'll tell you, it's hard for mama to put little one on the bus the first time. But they've got to be educated, whether they homeschooled or put them on. There had to be a division. It's hard for mom and daddy to say, who gives this woman to be married to this man? It's hard to say goodbye this morning. See Abigail drive down the road. First, it's our first day. It's really what got me thinking about this. Our first day of not having our daughter in our home. And we seen her this morning for just a minute. And we said, I can't believe she's married. I can't believe she's married. Well, that's hard. There's a division there. Can division ever be good? Can anything good come out of this? Is that not what we say in our lives sometime? It'd be pretty good in a few years to see some grandbabies come along. But there's got to be a division first. There's got to be a marriage. There's got to be. And I'd sort of like to see some grandbabies one of these days. But you see what I'm saying? There's got to be a division. Or a lot of these things that we enjoy and love and look forward to in life, they would never come about. I mean, we love our children. We want to raise them. We love them being at home. But you know, if they is, you know, 40 or 50 years old, you'd probably get tired of them by then. You'd say, you know, don't you need to go find a wife? Don't you need to go have your own family? It's hard. Some of these things are hard, but you got to realize that when God divides, when God is in it, then God multiplies. I'd like to, if time goes on, I'd like to be, you know, one of them grandpas and grandmas that, boy, at Christmas time, here come all the youngins and all the grand youngins and just have a big old family get together. I mean, I could see where that'd be a good time. But you got to have that division first. You got to have that partition. Sometimes it's hard things that comes along in our lives. Hard when change comes. We're very resistant to change coming along, but sometimes it's a good thing. There was a division. There was a partition on the first day, and it was for our good. God said you got to have the light, but you got to have the darkness as well. And last of all, and what I want to show you tonight, let's read verses 3 through 5 one more time. It is a pictured day. It is a picture of something. The first day is a picture of something. Verse number 3, the Bible said this, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Now you help me out tonight. What was the first thing that God created? What did He say in verse 3? Light. Verse number 3, the first thing. And God said, let there be light. Verse 5 said that was the first day. Does anybody know what the first day is? What's the first day of the week? Sunday's the first day of the week. first day was a Sunday. The first day was a Sunday, and the first thing that God said was, God said, let there be light. Now, if we go over to the New Testament, in the book of John, it talks about the Lord Jesus over there in John chapter number 1, and I don't want to misquote it. I'm going to read a couple of verses, but verse 1 said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. It talks about John the Baptist on down through there. And it said in verse 7, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. And there it's in capital L. That all men through him might believe. He was not that light, talking about John, but was sent to bear witness of that light. The Lord Jesus Christ is light. And we're studying over in the book of Mark. We're getting ready Wednesday night to be in Mark chapter number 16. You know what day they came and found the empty tomb? What's the Bible say? Now, early the first day, the first day of the week, on a Sunday, they came. And they found that the Lord Jesus Christ was not there. He came into this world to be light. He rose from the dead on the first day of the week. That's why we meet and worship on Sunday. It's Resurrection Day. But Sunday was also the first day of creation. And on the first day of creation, God made light. God created light. We sang the song, I believe it was this morning, every song we sang was good. We sing that song sometimes because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because light came forth, because the Lord Jesus Christ is alive, He's not dead. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. What's tomorrow? Monday. Boy, everybody dreads Monday, don't they? Dread Monday. Dread going back to work. And all this bad things are said about Monday. Hey, you ought to thank the Lord for a Monday if you're up living and breathing. I read something the other day that said, Mondays aren't so bad. Your attitude just stinks. Because He lives, I can face Monday. Because He lives, I can face Tuesday and Wednesday. And because He lives, I can face these new things that come along in my life. A child of God ought to have a totally different outlook and attitude than anybody else. We ought to be, like the preacher said this morning, and I really enjoyed that, we're forward-looking people. We've got something to look forward to. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that good? We have light, we have life, we have resurrection power in our lives, we have a living Savior, we have a lot to look forward to as the children of God. And the first day, instead of it being a bad day, we ought to look forward to it as being a good day. God give it to us. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this evening. I do appreciate your good attention.